Morning, church. What was today? January 12th? Right? Whew. 2020 is just cooking. It's going fast. I'm glad that you're here today. I am glad that you are here. Last week we kind of kicked off the new year, and for those of you that weren't with us, where we're going in 2020 is allowing our faith to increase and to grow and to change us by actually listening to, believing, and trusting God's Word. Now, I know for a lot of us, we'll go, oh, really, Michael? We went through the entire Bible last year. I think we got it. We're going to be challenged this year because God's Word says a lot of things that we go, that sounds like it's in the Bible, probably. But there are a lot of things that God says that you and I have yet to grasp and fully trust. There are a lot of things that He says it and we say, oh, well, that's a nice thought, or that's good in theory. This year, we're going to be challenged to listen to God's Word alone. Because we get a word from so many different directions. And then we start to change, shape, and form our lives based on the word of someone besides God. And then we look around and we are as fearful, anxiety-ridden, worrisome as everybody else around us. And we say, wait a minute. What is all this for? Because honestly, if your life is not completely driven by God's Word, if you are not just reading, listening, praying, studying, but living God's Word, it's not going to be tight enough to hold on to you. 2020 is going to get hot. This year is going to get hot. You better be ready. You better be ready. We have to be ready, church. And the only way that you and I are going to be ready is if we truly listen to and obey God's Word. So that's where we're headed this year. So that's what we're jumping in. All right, go ahead and open your Bible back to Jeremiah. That's where we began last week. Because if you and I are going to live by faith, if you and I are going to trust God's Word this year, there are two important lessons that we have to learn. Number one, we can endure much more than we think we can. Lesson number one, we can endure much more than we think we can. Lesson number two, we can accomplish much more than we believe we can. We can accomplish much more than we believe that we can. Two lessons that are absolutely necessary for us to hear God's Word. We can endure and we can accomplish. Now, the truth and power of God's Word is going to help us break through. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we're focusing on this. Because God's Word is truth. It's not relative. It's not outdated. It is eternal. Church, you got to understand, the things that you read in Scripture about God yesterday or today are more relevant and more recent than the newspaper app on your phone. God's Word is newer than whatever the Sunday Lubbock AJ had in it today. It's not old, it's not dead, it's eternal. And it's the only word that'll last. Because the news that we have this morning, in Lubbock's tragic. Is it not? It is. It's bad. It's bad. You'll have something else going on next week. You'll have something else that you're worried about or concerned about a few days from now. Now, when the news is a little closer to home, it sticks with us a little bit longer. But we travel from news to news to news to news to news. Great thing about God's Word is, being eternal, it helps us break through all these other things. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we took a look at that last verse in Jeremiah chapter 1. Because God tells Jeremiah, they're going to fight against you. He calls him and says, hey, you're going to speak for me. You're going to give my word to the people. And then he lets him know they are going to fight against you. They're not going to be excited about hearing my word because it's not happy. It's not good. They're not being faithful. And pain is coming. And they're going to fight against you every time you open your mouth. But they shall not prevail against you. Okay. All right, so I'm in for a fight, but God says I'm not going to lose. Whew. And then he promises him, because I am with you. That's what God's word says. You are in a fight, you are not going to lose, and God is not going to leave you. Wow. Wow. That is awesome, right? If you're called by God to share his word, that's all I need to hear, right? You had me at hello, Lord. I'm yours. I'll say what you want. I'll say who you want me to say it to. Let's get this party going. 10 chapters later, Jeremiah's whining. 10 chapters later, didn't take him long. He's crying out to God saying, oh, my enemies are so bad. They're all around. You get one little death threat and you just forget everything God has ever said. Oh, wait a minute. Seems that Jeremiah is a little more timely than we thought. That's what happens. Look at Jeremiah chapter 11. By chapter 11, he's received a death threat. And he's ready to quit. He's like, oh boy, God, you're going to be with me, but okay, I know you said we were in a fight, but some people are, they're threatening. They're saying mean things about, wait, they're saying that if I continue to do what you tell me to do, they're going to hurt me. Lord, why does it have to be this hard? Prayerful whining. Got to love it. Go down to verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19. So Jeremiah cries out to God, and I love what he compares himself to. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. Poor old me. I'm so cute and fluffy, God. You should protect me. I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Jeremiah cries out and says, God, I was just doing what you said, and now they're threatening me. Now they're telling me bad things are going to happen if I keep this up. So please, just take care of me. Get me through this. And verse 21, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life and say, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and none of them shall be left, for I will bring disaster upon the men of Anathoth the year of their punishment. Righteous are you, O Lord. When I complain to you, yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and they produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, Lord, you know me. You see me. You test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the evil of those who dwell in it? The beasts and the birds are swept away because they said, he will not see our latter end. All right, so here is Jeremiah, called by God to be his prophet, to go speak to Jerusalem and say, you're done. God's message through Jeremiah, he is getting them ready for one of the worst chapters in the history of God's people. That was exile. God says, I have put up with you and carried you and been ignored by you and been spurned by you, and I have done everything for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you this land. I provided everything. You did nothing. And we're going to get here, and because you don't kick everybody out, you are worshiping and sacrificing to the Baals? Huh. I don't think so. So I'm going to let some of those evil people, that you call evil people from the north, I'm going to let them come down. In fact, I'm going to send up some of those old enemies that you know from Egypt, and I'm going to let them come and knock you around. And they're going to kill some of you. And they're going to take some of you. They're going to take you away and make you slaves in their land. And you know what? They're going to leave some of you behind because you're kind of losers. You're not even worth the trip. And you're going to be stuck here with nothing, with a destroyed city, with your houses in rubble, with nothing left. That's what I'm doing. And Jeremiah is sitting here and he's going, but Lord, some people don't like that. God, somebody responded negatively to my sermon today. In fact, when I was standing at the back shaking hands, you know, what's usually a really fun time for me, those Anathoths, they threatened me. They said, Jeremiah, if you preach one more time that sermon, we're going to kill you. So, where are you, Lord? Where are you? Now, this is the amazing answer. And I love this, verse 5 and 6. This is key. If you're an underliner, underline. If you have a digital copy, find the digital highlighter, whatever. Write it on your bathroom mirror. Because God, as God usually does, when we have a complaint, because, you know, our complaints are a lack of faith that God is able and willing to deliver us. I mean, God just said, don't worry about the Anathoths. I will take care of the Anathoths. You be faithful. But I know, Lord, but you need to wipe them out because I don't even like the threat of the Anathoths existing. I don't even like to know that my enemy is drawing breath. Can you go ahead and bomb them, destroy them, clear them from the planet? Because I would sleep much better at night if I had zero enemies on this planet. Verse 5. If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. So, God's answer to Jeremiah is, if you get worn out, scared, or worried, or lose your faith in me so easily, how are you actually going to accomplish anything awesome? I'm going to let that question haunt you today. That's an awesome verse in Jeremiah 12:5. If it wears you out to run with people, how are you going to gallop with stallions? If it is all that you have within you just to get by and get along this regular life of faith, how am I going to trust you to run ahead of the crowd and run with the beasts and the wild horses and those whose muscles ripple under their flesh? You ever seen horses run? Whoo! It's impressive, isn't it? It is. They are impressive animals. And God is saying, how are you going to run with those horses if you're worn out running with just people? Church, God is calling us constantly to more than what we can imagine. God is calling us constantly to better than what we are living. That is faith. That is faith. Because you and I, every single day of our lives, we use our eyes to direct our path. And we look around and we say, well, this must be my reality. This must be what's going on in the world. That's what I have to think about. That's what I have to worry about. And God's word sitting back here going, hey, I still have the truth. And when you and I look around us, just like Jeremiah did, Jeremiah looked around, he said, uh-oh, those guys threatened me. Those guys threatened me. They threatened him. Had they hurt him? Not yet. Has he been thrown in the stockade yet? Not yet. Has he been beaten by a priest? Not yet. That's coming later. Nothing bad has even happened to Jeremiah yet. And he's scared. And God's saying, Jeremiah, really? Nothing bad has even happened to you. All you've heard is rumors that something bad might happen to you. And you go and freak out. You just heard that maybe somewhere something bad is happening and it might be coming into your doorstep. And what did you do? Ah! God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think God just basically trumped our current events. Yeah. Because you remember, 2 weeks ago, we were all thinking about something else. And what an icy roads was it? Nope. How are we going to stay safe in our worship? What are we going to do about the security of our buildings? Because something happened several hundred miles away, and we all went, ah! They're going to fight you. And they are not going to win. I am with you. What are you listening to? What else do you need to know? Church, the world's going to fight you. You stand up and you say, hey, by the way, Jesus is Lord. And he's the only way to God. What? That's a rather exclusive argument. You telling me that you're the only ones going to heaven? You telling me you guys somehow have a monopoly on the truth? You telling me that I don't need to be fully accepting to every choice in life? To every religion, to every everything? Why would you be so exclusive? What, are you a bigot? Are you a phobe of some kind? Who would say such things? They will fight you. Guess what? They don't win. They don't win! Well, Michael, I talked to somebody about Jesus last week and it didn't go well. They laughed at me. They got mad at me. They said they weren't going to be my friend anymore. They unfriended me on Facebook. Really? We are worn out running with other people. And God is saying, you need to be running with stallions. And your legs are tired going on a little jog. Seriously. Come on, Jeremiah. And he says, if in a safe land you were so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? In other words, right now, when nothing bad is happening to you, you're in Jerusalem. It hadn't been destroyed. It hadn't been ransacked. You are still in the safe city, and you are this scared. What are you going to do when you get at, when the exile actually happens? If you have this little faith, you and I, today, church, look around. No, be honest. Look around. Are you and I here? Are you and I here today? You and I are here today. Just look around. Is anything bad happening at the door today? Look around. If we fall apart when it's safe, what are we going to do when something bad actually happens? That's God's question to Jeremiah. It's God's question to us. If you don't trust me when things are okay, what kind of faith do you think you have when disaster gets to your doorstep? If we're all falling apart because of news that happened in another city, another county, another state, another nation, what kind of faith are we going to have when it goes, here, sunrise, have some of this? You trust God's word or not? They're going to fight you. They're not going to beat you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Wow. Mark read for us in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 4 that if you suffer for following Jesus, entrust your soul while doing good. If you suffer for being a Christian. Now, that's not just if you suffer, okay? We don't just get to say, oh, well, I'm sick. Or I have a loved one in the hospital. Or someone died that I know or that I love. Something bad happened. That's not even what Peter's talking about. Because guess what? Everybody goes through bad stuff. Bad stuff happens to all of us. He says, if you are suffering for being a Christian. Again, that's you and I, like Jeremiah. Well, Michael, don't you know they're killing Christians in China? I sure do. You live in China? Well, what should our response be? Our response should be fear. Because of what's happening to Christians in China, we should be scared. We should be quiet in America. We should not stand up to anyone who opposes us. We should just come together and make this a fear factory. Does that sound like who we're called to be? Does that sound like anything out of God's Word? Not at all. Not at all. Michael, you know how bad it is out there? You know how hostile they are towards us? Absolutely. If you suffer for being a Christian, that means, that's a big if, that you and I actually live like Jesus, that you and I actually share the good news with people around us, you know, be a Christian, and we suffer for it, what's the response? We have Jeremiah's response. Woe is me, Lord, smite my enemies and avenge me. It's getting uncomfortable. Nope. Our response is, God, you are awesome. You are fantastic. You are fantastic. Wow. Again, Jeremiah's question. You know what we sound like when we suffer just the regular things of this world? We sound like we're running with people. You know what we sound like when we praise God in our suffering? Do you know what we sound like when we praise God when being a Christian is actually causing us some discomfort in this world? And we continue to hold on to our faith and we continue to worship God in the thicket? Oh, we sound like a... Cambry, what's a group of horses called? Are they a herd? Are horses a herd? A herd of stallions! That's what I was looking for. Yeah, flock of Mustangs. A gaggle of Clydesdales. That's what I was looking for. That was it. He says, when you are praising God, when you are doing good things in spite of your suffering, your noise is going to reverberate through the neighborhood. When you say, I will not let go of God because God is good. And people come to you like Job's wife and say, ugh, not with those circumstances. You ought to just be done with it. Why are you still following God? What's that gotten you? What's that gotten you? Really, show me an alternative. Well, you should just eat, drink, and be merry, right? Because we're all going to die. Oh, yeah. That's the religion of those who think that their funeral is the last word. Well, guess what? I believe in the resurrection, so I know for a fact my funeral is not the last word. So I can't just sit here and eat, drink, and be merry. I can't just turn my back away on everything that I know to be true. I have been made eternal. I'm not waiting for that day when this body says, I can't do it anymore, Michael. I'm there. I'm living as an eternal being right now. I walk with Jesus today. I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God because of my baptism in Christ. My sins have been forgiven. I am a new creature. See, creation was made in the garden the first time. Creation's been remade through the Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I are living proof of it. So no, I don't think that I'll just turn my back on God and eat, drink, and be merry, and who cares what happens. I don't think that just because I have to suffer a few things that I'm just going to say, I can't believe God doesn't take better care of me. Wah. Because you know what God does in response to that? He's looking down at me going, Michael, seriously, you're like on a 1 mile walk around a high school track. And I want you running with horses. Right? I mean, you're like in a sweatpants, comfortable shoes stroll around the neighborhood after a big meal. And I'm asking you to gallop. Let's go. If you can't show me any better faith when you're okay, what are you going to do when the gun's to your head? If you can't show me any stronger faith when you are safe and worshiping unmolested, if you can't show me any better faith when things are good, how can I trust you when they actually fall apart? I've been wondering that same thing, Lord. I've been wondering that same thing. Now I get it. Now I understand when Jesus looks around and says, whew, when the Son of Man comes back, is he going to find any faith? Is he going to find people who are actually living according to God's word, God's promises, and not what's going on in the current events? That was a real question. Jesus wasn't being flippant. He wasn't being sarcastic. He was saying, hey, when I come back and get my own, are there going to be any of you? You know it, Lord. There's tons of us. Really? We mentioned it in Bible class. Who was it? Abraham arguing for Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Yeah, Abraham said he just kept on lowering his numbers, right? Lord, you'll save the city for this many. You'll save the city for this. You'll save the city. Yes, I'll save the city for that few. Can't find them. He destroyed the entire world and saved one family. One family. One. I know you're sitting there this morning going, yeah, but it would be my family, Michael. So you guys are on your own. God has given you victory. That's the truth. God has given you victory so you can endure. You can endure. When you suffer, praise be to God. Praise be to God. I love when Peter and Paul throughout the book of Acts, they stand up and they preach the good news and they share the good news with people and they get beat up for it and they get thrown in jail for it. And they go into jail and they say, well, we're just going to continue to do what we've been doing, which is worship and praise God. And then they get beat up and they get released and they get threatened. You better not talk about Jesus anymore. And they go on their way celebrating. Why? Because we're not in jail anymore? No, wasn't that awesome? That was so awesome. We look enough like Jesus that they actually confused us with followers of Jesus. They actually thought we were a threat to the enemy. They actually thought we followed Jesus close enough to be a threat to the enemy. Oh, church, if you and I, if every single one of us this week took seriously our place as a threat to the enemy. If you and I actually stood up for Jesus and then actually celebrated when it brought a little pain and said, praise be to God, because God sees fit to allow me to suffer for the gospel. He allowed Jesus to suffer for the gospel. He allowed Peter and Paul in the early church to suffer for the gospel. He allowed all the martyrs that are begging him in Revelation, how long, O Lord? I mean, they can say how long because, you know, they've already paid the ultimate price. You and I can't. We don't get to sit here and wring our hands. We don't get to sit here in our chairs and go, how long, Lord? Come on. I'm hearing bad news all around me. When are you going to come down and fix it all? Because I'm hearing bad news. Oh, I'm untouched. I'm cool, Lord. You know, whatever. I'll continue to get up tomorrow morning and go to work, and I'll continue to buy and sell and live my life. But you know, if you can speed it up, I'm ready for my cloud, my harp, and my crown. (Clears throat) You know what that is? Walking with people. Come on, stallions. It's time to run. It's time to run. You can handle more than you think. You can handle more than you think. Turn over to John chapter 14. Because not only can you endure much more than you think, you can also accomplish much more than you think. What can we do, Michael? We're small. We're just a small church on the north side of Lubbock. What are we going to do? How are we going to make a difference? God loves to use small things. David was small, right? He couldn't even fit in the armor. David says, why are you guys all sitting here while that dog is cursing God? Why are you letting him do that? Why didn't someone stand up to him? He's big. He's big. Well, he's not as big as God, but he's big. I'll take care of it. Seriously? Well, okay, David, but if you're going to take care of the giant, here's some stuff. Right? Here's some weapons. Here's some armor. This doesn't even fit. I can't use this. I can't go into battle with untested armor. I can't do this. You know what? God's got my back. I can't tell you how many times he's delivered me. Lion, bear, it didn't matter. I got this piece of leather. Here's some rocks. God's got this. God's got this. Absolutely. That's what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at the faith of David. God's got this. Sunrise, you're just a handful of little rounded stones. It's all right. God knows what to do with them. Oh, God knows what to do with little things. That's what you do with them. So what are we doing sitting here saying, well, God can't use us? Michael, I haven't been a Christian that long. I can't make a difference. Michael, I just don't have enough influence. Or, you know, I'm not good with words. And, Michael, I get embarrassed easily. I couldn't do, you know, I can't get up there like you do and make a fool of yourself in front of 100 people. I would be mortified. I'm half embarrassed for you. I can't believe you're not mortified. I have no shame. I'm sorry. I wasn't born with it. So I don't know how to be mortified. Instead of all these excuses, what if we realize that Jesus said, you can accomplish so much more than you even imagine? In John chapter 14, take a look at verse 12. Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and I'll be with you. So Jesus says to his followers, hey guys, look, I got to go away, but it's cool. I'm giving you more than enough. I'm still going to be with you. Go ahead. Ask me anything. Ask me anything. I'm going to take care of you. In fact, the prayer pipeline, if that's not enough for you, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you another helper. I got to go away, but this helper will be with you forever. He dwells in you. He lives with you. He walks with you. Church, you and I are not alone. You and I are not alone. This morning in our Bible study, Tony had us look at the story of Moses, the call of Moses. Remember when God called Moses? And he said to Moses, all right, Moses, you're going to be a prophet, and you're going to go, and you're going to talk to Pharaoh and let my people go. You remember the song? Let my people go. You're going to do all these things. And Moses says, but I can't. I can't. What was his first excuse? I forget the order. That was the last one, wasn't it? Yeah, what if they don't listen? Who should I say sent me? I am sent you. Really? I'm going into the den of the enemy, and that's what I got? Who do you think you are? I'm no one, but I am. Doesn't even sound right. I am sent me. I am sent you. What? Yeah. Moses said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And God said, look, here, do this. What if they don't believe me? Pick up your staff. Throw it on the ground. Do all these things. Put your hand in your coat. Reep, reep, reep. I love to blow kids away because I can pull my finger off. Ouch. He's sticking his hand in his coat and pulling it out and it's diseased. What? Now put it back in there. Clean. You'll be fine. Show them that. They'll get a kick out of it. But God, I don't make the words too good. I don't talk so hot. Aaron's going with you. He can talk. Now get out of here. Church, God is with us every step of the way. He is closer than we can imagine. And honestly, the distance that God is, the proximity that he is from you right now is on you. Because his word says he is with us every step of the way. And if you're not experiencing it, if you're not feeling it, if you're not trusting it, if you're not believing it, it is on you. It is on me. It's not on him. Because it is not as though the word of God fails. God's word always accomplishes its purpose. And always goes back to the Father reaping a harvest. God will have faithful people. The question comes to us, are we going to be a part of it or not? God has people that trust his word. All I'm asking us this morning is, are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to actually suffer more than we think we can handle? And are we going to suffer faithfully? And are we going to get out there and to accomplish more than we believe that we can? Or are we just going to make excuses? You're going to be a Moses or you're going to be a David? You're going to get tired? You're going to grab the knees and tell the kids, I'll catch up with you. I need a little. Are you going to run with horses? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? If you fall apart at the news of danger, how do you think you're going to react when danger's at the door? God says to Jeremiah, you're going to be worthless to me. You're going to be worthless to me. Church, because of the word of God, your life is important. Your life is powerful. Your life is impactful. And your life is eternal. We don't have all these things because we are good people. We have all these things because we believe in God. And he says, I'm with you. Jeremiah 1:19. They're going to fight you. They're going to fight you. Hey, anybody raise any kids? Okay, good. Me and Lisa. Were your kids ever ignorant enough to fight you when you were trying to do something good for them? Okay. Case closed. If your kids aren't even smart enough to know that you're trying to teach them something important or good, what do you think the world's going to do when you try to change their lives with the good news of Jesus? You don't think they're going to fight you? Come on. They're going to fight you. And God says, they're not going to win. I'm with you. Yes! You had me at hello, God. You had me at hello. That's all I got to hear. That's all I got to hear to start actually trusting your word. All right, last one. Last one. First Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. All right, so church, this week we are going to go out and we are going to live the Word of God. This week we are going to go out and we are going to refuse to trudge along in a banal existence of meaningless, of hopelessness, of fear. You know, basically like everyone you're going to meet this week. You do notice there's no spectacular people around. I don't care what field. There's no spectacular people. They all have their weaknesses. They all have their flaws. They all have their problems. But you and I get to go out this week and we get to be spectacular because of God's Word. You and I get to carry the victory of Jesus Christ everywhere we go this week. Tomorrow, you will carry the victory of Jesus with you. Tuesday, you will carry the victory of Jesus with you. And before you know what's going to happen? You're not even going to realize it. You're going to look down, your feet are going to be going. You're going to be moving. You're going to be running with horses. Because if you're not trusting God's word, it's a difficult existence. And it feels like drudgery, doesn't it? When you and I are just kind of playing with it. When we're not really committed, we're just kind of, I mean, I got enough faith to go to church, but I don't have enough faith to actually, you know, talk to a lost person about Jesus. I mean, I got enough faith to smile at my friends at church, but I don't have enough faith to actually reach out to somebody with a word from God or receive a word from God. We're kind of playing. But if you trust God's word this week, before you know it, those feet are going to be moving, those legs are going to be strong, and you're going to be running with horses. And so when the trouble does come and when the trouble is right at the door, you and I are going to be fine. You and I are going to be fine. All right. If you're not a Christian this morning, what are you doing? If you are a Christian this morning, what are you doing? The proper answer is, I'm running with horses, Michael. Let's go.